Good morning, everyone. This issue is also near and dear to my heart, though I'm not directly working with an immunization registry. I do have a past experience with it in a past life. So I too am quite concerned and interested in ensuring data quality of our registry data. So what I'm going to do today is talk with you about a web-based reporting application that was developed to monitor and improve data quality for an immunization information system. I hope none of you mind if I use the word registry from here on out, because IIS is a mouthful. So what I hope to do today is just to provide an overview for you, a little bit of background about the registry, where the tool was developed, explain to you what the provider status report is, or PSR, explain to you how the registry staff use the PSR to conduct quality assurance evaluations, and I will offer even more than just the registry staff utilize this tool, and then also talk about the impact of quality assurance follow-up activities. So the registry that I'm going to be talking about today is the Los Angeles Orange Immunization Network, or LINC. This is the registry that's operating in Los Angeles and Orange counties in California, and it's one of nine regional registries operating in the state of California and a part of the California Immunization Registry, which is the statewide registry. Within LINC's area, there's a population of about 14 million people in those two counties. And just to give you a little bit of summary about the data that are currently contained in the registry, or as of the beginning of this month, there were about 462,000 records for kids under six with at least two immunizations, and that included about 7.25 million immunizations for those children. The registry total has about 1.3 million patient records and about 19.2 million shot records. And again, as of the beginning of this month, there were 800 plus providers that were enrolled in using the registry, and by that I'm referring to all of the different provider types that are listed: public health, community clinics, hospitals, private providers, WIC agencies, school-based clinics, schools, and foster care agencies. So why is a quality assurance tool needed? That probably is a redundant question for the crowd that I'm talking to today. And as Stephanie mentioned, the quality of our data in our registries is becoming increasingly critical as we expand the activities that we conduct utilizing the data. So essentially, we felt there was a need to develop a tool because we wanted to be able to ensure the quality of the data for the various activities that we're undertaking. So for example, our COCASA assessments for the LA County Immunization Program are generated from registry data. We're looking to registry data to help us understand what's going on within the community. Where do we have challenges with meeting vaccine coverage? So we need to make sure that our data are accurate. And we also want to be sure that we're able to look and measure providers' use of the registry over time. The tool that we were looking to develop would allow us to measure progress using concrete and measurable data quality indicators. So we had something standard we could look to. And then this would help us to identify areas that require improvement, allow us to provide focused training where it might be needed, or provide additional support that might be needed by the providers using the registry. And then, of course, it allows us to give feedback to the providers about where they're doing well, where we might be able to help them. And I think one of the most important things, it gives us a chance to receive feedback from providers about what they like, about how the software is working, things they might suggest about improving it. So an overview of the PSR, again, the Provider Status Report. This was a tool that was developed in 2005, and in the intervening years, we've expanded and improved upon the initial tool that was developed. I'm not a technical person, but I thought for those of you that have the bent, I should provide just a little bit of information about the technical specifications. It is built in an ASP.NET platform, and we utilize the queries that are generated are run from Visual Basic, and the results are stored in a SQL database. It is an intranet web application, and it does require secure access. There's a username and password required, so only specific staff can get into it. It is completely separate from the registry software itself, but it does query the live database, so the data that come out of it are actually real time. And then essentially what we have the ability to do as of today is to run reports in five major categories and look at 33 different unique queries. So the major indicators that are evaluated include provider reports. So we look at login activity. How frequently are providers logging into the system so we can determine whether or not they're utilizing it routinely. We look at immunization data. How routinely are they recording vaccinations that they're actually giving to their patients? We look at inventory activity. Are they documenting the vaccine lots that they're receiving and then actually recording when vaccines are administered from those lots? We look at the frequency of reminder recall activity, utilizing the reminder recall feature in the software, and then creation of duplicate records, which tells us there might be an issue with not searching thoroughly or giving us other feedback, which those of you working in registries know that duplicate records is a big problem. We also look at patient reports, so patient records that are created, the status of those individual patient records. So we want to see the percentage of the records that are actually that are active in that provider population, and then looking at incomplete patient records that are created. We also look at refusal reports. So just to give you a little bit of background about California, it's actually an opt-out state, so parents are disclosed, they receive a disclosure statement about participating in the registry, and should they decide not to participate, parents or patients, they actually have to sign that they are refusing participation. The refusal rate is very low overall in the state. So one of the things we wanted to make sure was, if we monitor rates of refusal for different providers, are we seeing patterns? So if there's a specific provider who has a significantly higher rate than we would expect to see, then that might tell us there may be something going on with the disclosure process or how that provider might be talking with parents or patients about participation in the registry. We also have WIC reports that are generated, and that tells us how many records are either read or created, how many records have transcribed vaccinations included, and then when WIC agencies are actually claiming patient records as their own. Some other reports that we generate, we look at recording of adverse reactions to vaccinations. We look at waivers, and this is becoming a bigger and bigger issue for us as we look at personal belief exemptions and exemptions in general, so we monitor that. There is a notes field that's included in the software that the Link Registry uses that's free text, so we try to monitor to see what kind of information is going into that field for appropriateness and to see if maybe there's something going in there that should be recorded somewhere else. And then we also look to see providers who haven't been using, have not recorded any vaccinations in the previous 3 months. And then we also have the ability to generate a list of providers who are currently active, and that allows us to do some mass communication to registry providers such as Fax Blast and other types of communication efforts. So what this is just a screenshot of the main page of the application for the provider status report. As I mentioned, it does require a login and a password. The access is secure. And then it just includes a description of what the application is about. And then this screen shows you once you're logged in, it provides a sort of a snapshot of what you can do. So you actually see on the left-hand side at the lower portion, I have an actual pointer that might work, there we go. The reports that I just referenced are categorized over here and can be clicked on. You have the ability to search the database by provider, by specific start and end dates, and then there's gonna be a description of the report that's actually active once it's selected. And then this is a snapshot of one of the records that exists, one of the screens that exists in the system. This is the incomplete patient record report. What you have the ability to do is sort on any of these underlying fields. So depending on how you want to display your data, you can sort on patient ID, last name, first name. Also, you can choose to display or hide patient names, depending on what it is that you want to see. And then we have the ability to export the report into Excel. So if there's some additional data analysis that needs to be conducted, that can be done by exporting to Excel. So just to talk a little bit about some of the reports that are actually generated, the incomplete records reports are probably the most critical and the most common issues that the Link Registry sees. So basically what this does is identifies records that have empty immunization histories, which tells us providers are creating the demographic portion of the record but not following through and either transcribing the history or recording the vaccinations that they're giving. We also look for empty address and phone number fields, which is going to make reminder and recall activities or any kind of follow-up more challenging. We look to see if the gender is listed as unknown, because it really shouldn't be. And as we have activities that may target specific genders, such as the HPV vaccine, we would want to know who those individuals are. We also look to see records that are created with a VFC status of unknown, which that shouldn't be the case. And then we look to see if the body site field is empty. We also generate inventory activity reports. So I should just mention the software that is used in California actually does have an inventory tracking feature. So providers, once they receive their vaccine lots, enter the information into the registry, and if they're utilizing it real time and recording vaccinations as they're being given, they should have a real time accounting of vaccine on hand. This is a pretty challenging area for most of our providers. It's a little complex. But we try to work with them routinely to make sure that they can accurately and competently use this feature. So what we do, what we look for in these activity reports, is we're looking to see the number of vaccinations that are given and deleted by a provider. We're looking to see inventory adjustments that they make, which may tell us there might be some problems going on with use of this feature. We look at transcribed historical records. What we have learned from some providers is they think it's easier to transcribe a shot because they only have to put the date next to the vaccine rather than record it from their inventory. But where that's going to become a challenge is they don't have an actual real-time accounting of their vaccine on hand. And as we move into the next phase of VMBIP and we start more relying more heavily on our registry data in connection with online ordering, this is going to become even more critical for providers to feel comfortable and to be able to use competently. We're also looking for negative or zero volume vaccine lots and then creation of duplicate vaccine lots. This is another screenshot of a different kind of report that can be generated from the PSR, and this is the WIC records created report. In the link registry, there are two different types of WIC users. Some of them are actually just read-only and they look up the record. Others are actually entering transcribed history into the record. So what this report allows us to do is to look and see how frequently are WIC staff getting in and accessing patient records. This information is useful for a lot of our WIC agencies because they have grant or program requirements that require them to report how often they're conducting assessment and referral activities. So we're really using this as kind of a proxy for assessment and referral. So once all of the various reports are run, what we do is we create a summary report that puts all of these different queries and results into what we hope is a more user-friendly format and summarizes for them all of the specific issues that have come up during the time period for which we're reviewing data. So we've got the provider information at the top, we have when they began using the registry, and then we'll have some indication of what time period we're looking at for this review. And so what we really do want to do is make sure that we're highlighting the areas of sort of most concern or the things we want to bring to the provider's attention. So for example, in this for this summary report, we can see that there are 42% of the records are 6 months or more past due for immunization. So that may tell us maybe the provider's not using or conducting reminder recall activities. And if I look down on the report, I can actually see use of reminder recall feature in the software is zero during our reporting period. So that would be something that we would want to give feedback to the provider about. And this is just the second page of the report where we will indicate what our specific recommendations are for actions that the provider might take. I should also clarify that the data reports that are generated by the application can also accompany the summary report. So if there's follow-up the provider needs to conduct, they'll actually have the information about the specific records that apply. So just to share a little bit about how the PSR is used in practice, providers receive the report at 1 month, 3 months, and 1 year post-implementation of the registry, and then annually thereafter. So the first visit, or the first report that's issued, actually is conducted via an on-site visit, a face-to-face with the provider, because we feel that that gives us an opportunity to kind of nip in the bud any issues that might be arising early on with the provider. From that point, it may be a phone call discussion, it may be an email, it may be a hard copy mailing of the report. The registry actually has one full-time staff person who is assigned to provider management, where they're trying to assist, this individual is assisting providers with problems they're experiencing. So essentially, she would be the one that would be reviewing this with a provider if we do see any patterns or trends cropping up. We would increase the frequency of looking at the data if we do see, again, continued problems or new problems for a provider. Again, providers are then given the recommendations. They get the feedback about what's going on. We talk with them about recommendations and then offer additional support, which could be training. So I mentioned reminder recall. If they're having a challenge with conducting that, it might be come on back in and we'll give you a refresher training on how to use the reminder recall feature in the software. It might be they've gotten behind on entering their records, so we'll provide some data entry assistance support, back data entry assistance. It might be actually talking with them about their workflow, how they have the registry implemented in their practice or in their clinic, and maybe we don't have the right people in the right parts of the clinic utilizing the system. And then finally, the registry also operates a computer loan program, so it might be they don't have enough computers in their practice, and so the registry can help provide support with that. So just a word about what we've seen in provider progress to date. So based on the results of this application for 194 clinical providers, and we've defined clinical as providers who actually give immunizations, of the 194 providers who've used the registry for 2 years or more, 72% of them showed improvement from the 3 month to 1 year report. 69% of those showed continued improvement from 1 year to 2 year. And then about half of the providers continued to show improvement over a 2 year period. So the good news is that it looks like we're able to sustain a lot of improvement in use of the registry and data quality for a significant number of the providers. And for those of you who are wondering how we measured improvement, we looked at 6 different indicators, and these were determined to be the most critical for purposes of data quality. We look at the percent of records with empty immunization history, with a change in the patient status, and I mentioned before, patient status is referencing, are they active? Have they been listed as moved or going elsewhere for treatment? That is an indicator to us that the provider is actively managing the patient population. We look at the percent of records with a missing address or phone number, is missing body site, and then also the number of inventory lots where there appears to be a problem, so negative or zero balance, duplicate or expired vaccine lots. So improvement for purposes of this analysis was defined as at least 3 or more of these indicators showing improved percentages from the previous report. So the benefits of the PSR and continued follow-up that we see in this is it really allows the registry staff to identify problems and training needs, especially early on after implementation of the registry. And I think this is the most critical part, things that might not have been evident either to the registry staff or to the provider. So the example that I use is if a medical assistant is the one who's primarily utilizing the registry and is struggling with use, or maybe he's discontinued it, the provider may not know that, or the administrator may not know that. It may not be evident. The registry wouldn't know it unless they're monitoring. So by checking in on this activity, we're able to intervene earlier and try to make sure we address any problems that might have cropped up. Also, it allows providers to see the progress they're making and kind of provides positive reinforcement. If they're doing well, we want to encourage you to continue to do that. And then also it helps the registry staff sort of prioritize and target their follow-up activities. They want to focus their efforts on those providers that need the most help. So this tool helps sort of refine that for the registry staff. So future plans, and some of this actually is no longer future since we created the PowerPoint, but the goal is to add additional reports to the PSR based on the things that would be helpful to the registry staff to know, to the immunization programs that are working with the registry. And in the link region, there are 4 different health departments that are actually a part of the registry. And then also to the provider staff. What are the types of things that are going to be useful to them? What do they want to know about how their staff and how their practice is using the registry? We also have implemented already sharing the results of these PSRs with the immunization program and VFC staff so that they can incorporate it into their quality assurance reviews and AFIX activities. So as the nursing staff are going out and visiting with providers, they know in advance how well the provider's using the registry based on data quality. They know the things that might be problematic for that provider, and they also can try to evaluate what might be just a problem with the data in the registry versus the provider's practices. So it arms them as they walk in the door with some additional information. And then the last thing, it says possibly being integrated, but I'm happy to report that it actually, this application will be integrated into the California Immunization Registry, meaning it'll be made available to all of the regions throughout the state for statewide use. If you have any additional information, really detailed information or technical information, this is the contact person, and I'm also happy to take any questions that anyone might have. Is that okay?